Penguin Random House Audio presents The Paris Bookseller by Carrie Mayer. Read for you by Lauren Ullman. Paris is so very beautiful that it satisfies something in you that is always hungry in America. Ernest Hemingway. Part 1, 1917 to 1920. Famous people. They were not born so. One always begins by being unknown. Adrienne Monnier. Chapter 1. It was hard not to feel that Paris was the place. Sylvia had been trying to get back for 15 years, ever since the Beach family had lived there when her father, Sylvester, was the pastor of the American church in the Latin Quarter, and she was a romantic teenager who couldn't get enough of Balzac or Cassoulet. What she remembered most about that time, what she'd carried in her heart when her family had to return to the United States, was the sense that the French capital was brighter than any other city she'd been in or could ever be in. It was more than the flickering gas lamps that illuminated the city after dark, or that ineluctable, glowing white stone from which so much of the city was built. It was the brilliance of the life burbling in every fountain, every student meeting, every puppet show in the Jardin du Luxembourg, and opera in the Théâtre de l'Odéon. It was the way her mother sparkled with life, read books, and hosted professors, politicians, and actors, serving them rich, glistening dishes by candlelight at dinners where there was spirited debate about books and world events. Eleanor Beach told her three daughters, Cyprian, Sylvia, and Holly, that they were living in the most rare and wonderful of places, and it would change the course of their lives forever. Nothing had compared, not making posters and answering phones and knocking on doors with Cyprian and Holly and Mother for the National Woman's Party in New York, not adventuring in Europe solo and reveling in the spires and cobblestones of many other cities, not her first longed-for kiss with her classmate Gemma Bradford, not winning the praise of her favorite teachers. But here she was now, actually living in the city that had captured her soul. From the rooms she shared with Cyprian in the staggeringly beautiful, if also crumbling, Palais Royal, Sylvia made her way down to the Pont Neuf and crossed to the other side of the Seine, breathing in the wind from the river that whipped her short locks of hair across her face and threatened to extinguish her cigarette. She stopped in the middle of the bridge to look east and admire Notre-Dame Cathedral with its symmetrical Gothic towers flanking the rose window and the precariously dainty buttresses whose strength still dumbfounded her. They'd been holding up those gargantuan walls for centuries. Soon, she was winding her way through the narrower streets of the Latin Quarter, which were still familiar from her adolescent wanderings. Though she got a tiny bit lost, it was happily so, because it gave her an opportunity to admire the Église de Saint-Germain-des-Prés and ask instructions of a pretty French student sipping café crème at a sidewalk table at Les Deux Magots. At last, she stopped at 7 Rue de l'Odéon, the location of A. Monnier, bookseller. The facade of Madame, ou peut-être Mademoiselle, Monnier's little shop was painted a pleasing shade of gray with a pale script bearing the proprietress's name above the large picture windows. When Sylvia pushed open the door, a single bell jingled cheerfully. A scattering of people stood here and there among the floor-to-ceiling shelves, stocked heartily with books. They were reading and browsing spines, but no one was talking, and so it was as silent as an empty church. Feeling suddenly shy about asking her question, Sylvia looked around and postponed her request. She was glad she did, for she discovered some beautiful editions of her favorite French novels and read nearly an entire short story in the latest issue of Vers et Prose. And as she did, the shop stirred to life around her, Customers made register-clanging purchases, and chattier couples entered, filling the place with sound. Plucking the book she'd come to buy off the shelf, along with the journal she'd been absorbed in, Sylvia went to the desk with the big brass cash register, where a striking woman of about her own age stood smiling with her slim lips and Mediterranean blue eyes, the contrast of her dove-white skin and raven hair making her impossible not to look at. In her mind, Sylvia heard Cyprian criticize the woman's outfit as old-fashioned, with its floor-length skirt and the blouse buttoned all the way up, both overly modest barriers to the voluptuous figure beneath, but Sylvia liked everything about the look of this woman. She seemed like the kind of person one could talk to. There was something more, too, though. Sylvia felt such a strong urge to stroke the woman's smooth cheek. "Did you find your heart's desire?" the woman asked in heavily accented English. "My heart's desire?" Sylvia smiled at the typically French passion in the woman's plainly spoken words, then replied in French, "Yes, I did, though I'm disappointed you knew I wasn't French." Languages were something of a gift to her. She spoke three fluently. She was gratified to see that as soon as she spoke, the woman appeared impressed by her accent. "Where are you from?" she asked, in French this time, using the formal vous. "The United States. Most recently, Princeton, New Jersey, near New York City. My name is Sylvia, by the way. Sylvia Beach." The woman clapped her hands together and exclaimed, "Les États-Unis, the home of Benjamin Franklin. But he is my favorite. I am Adrienne Monnier." Sylvia laughed as it somehow made perfect sense that this pretty girl in the outdated clothes should so admire her own favorite founding father. Mademoiselle, indeed. Not Madame, in the slightest. "Pleased to meet you, Mademoiselle Monnier. Your shop is very special. And I like Ben Franklin, too," she admitted. "But have you read any Hawthorne? Thoreau? What about Moby Dick? That's one of my favorites." And they were off. Sylvia learned all about what American authors had and had not been translated into French, and also how difficult it was to come by English-language books, even in cosmopolitan Paris. "And anyway," Adrienne admitted with a demure flicker of her lashes to the floor, "my English is not good enough to read the great literature in its mother tongue." "Perhaps not yet," Sylvia assured her, feeling her heart grow and glow in her chest. Something was passing between them, and it was more than just books, she was sure of it. Her hands felt clammy with it.
"There you are, Adrienne,"
sang a lilting and lovely voice from behind Sylvia. She turned and saw a stunning waif of a woman, with a thick and wavy mane of reddish-blonde hair piled atop her head, who wore a similar ensemble to Adrienne's, though it fit her slight frame entirely differently. Her fingers were long and slim and moved airily, as if they were not entirely under the control of the woman who possessed them. But when they rested on Adrienne's shorter, thicker hand, Sylvia could see the intent there and knew immediately the two women were lovers. And there she'd been, thinking that she and Adrienne were flirting. Already they'd slipped into using the familiar tu instead of vous. The warmth and admiration in Adrienne's smile at this woman, who now stood shoulder to shoulder with her, opened a painful fissure in Sylvia's heart. These two women had something here, together and in the store. Something she'd been looking for a long time, but hadn't known she wanted, needed, until she saw it. Was this something she could make happen for herself? What was this, anyway? Sylvia felt suddenly disoriented, knocked off balance by her surroundings, the store, the women, the books, the baritone hum of the other patrons.
"Suzanne," said Adrienne, "please meet our new friend Sylvia Beach of the United States. Sylvia, this is Suzanne Bonnière, my business partner."
In an overly enthusiastic gesture, Sylvia thrust out her hand, which Suzanne appeared.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?